Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison is calling for global social media restrictions following the deadly attacks in New Zealand, which the accused shooter live-streamed on Facebook. Morrison wants world leaders to take up measures at an upcoming G20 summit in Japan this June, saying it is unacceptable to treat the internet as an ungoverned space. Let's bring in Recode, our weekly guide to the world of tech. Peter Kafka is executive editor at Recode. And Peter, Australia's prime minister is calling for better safeguards so that social media platforms can't be exploited by terrorists. Can it be done?
I think practically that's impossible. Look, individual countries regulate the internet all the time. Generally, we hear about repressive regimes. Iran takes down stuff it doesn't like. Saudi Arabia tells Netflix to take down an episode of a show it doesn't like. Individual countries can basically force individual internet companies to behave any way they want. China often does that. The likelihood that you're going to have a bunch of countries coming together with a sort of binding resolution about how an internet company should behave seems very unlikely to me.
How much responsibility do users themselves have? Facebook said late yesterday that 12 minutes after the 17-minute live stream ended, it was only then that a user reported the video to Facebook, which seems like an incredibly long amount of time.
This is the actual problem with Facebook and also Twitter and YouTube and any other platform like this that is designed to be sort of a back and forth between the tech company that owns it, owns the platform, and the users that supply the content. They're all designed specifically so the users are the ones sort of inputting the content, and the platforms can lay back and say, hey, we didn't put that there. Someone else put it there. And someone else needs to tell us it's objectionable, and we're not going to react until someone tells us otherwise. So Facebook could blame a user. I don't think they would actually say that. But they've set up a system where they said, look, someone else put this stuff on this thing. We just happened to own the thing, but we didn't put it there. It's not our fault.
And that protects them. That gives them cover.
It gives them legal protection, there's an entire business reason for that. It's much easier to run a giant internet-scale business when it's computers and users putting stuff on the site instead of individuals. And by the way, up until at least recently, there was a big ethos in Silicon Valley that said this is the right way to run something. People who use the software plus the software should be the ones figuring out how it works, not, you know, a government regulator or a New York media company is sort of a famous epithet. I think now they're starting to rethink some of that, or at least they're not saying that as much out loud. But they, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, a year after the Russia hack, said, look, we freedom means not having to ask permission for what you put on, you say online, and we're not going to stop you from putting up what you want to put up online. Afterwards, there might be consequences, and that, I think, is still what Facebook believes.
Your colleague Kurt Wagner told me on Friday, and this was shortly after the news broke, that Facebook struggled to contain the footage of the shooting from spreading because it was happening live. Now the company says it's spending a lot of money to address that issue. But what technology is there to better monitor or take down a live broadcast?
Well, if you wanted it to not happen live, you would not build a tool that allows anyone to put up whatever they want live. Once there's video or any other content on the internet and on various social sites, there are ways to use both computers and humans to track that stuff down. It's a giant whack-a-mole game, really at enormous scale. Even then, it is very hard for very smart people in Silicon Valley to figure out how to stop this just wave of stuff. But if you don't want someone to post something live, don't give them a tool that says post whatever you want live. The best way to do that would be to either take down the tool or at least have some kind of buffer that says you can stream this, you can start recording this stuff live, but we're not going to post it until it's past some sort of minimal threshold of decency.
Sure. And Facebook also says it's moving away from the public newsfeed and toward the more personal encrypted sharing model, which is totally upends in some ways its business model. But do you think something like that could slow down viral content?
I think slowing down virality is now sort of a thing that Facebook's trying to do, although they tried to encourage it for many years. By the way, they're not moving. They're not going to leave the public news feed. They're just going to say, look, if you want to do more private messaging, that's fine. They're also saying this private messaging is going to be encrypted, so we literally won't know what you're telling other people, which makes actually enforcing this sort of stuff much, much harder. You could detect patterns and clusters and behaviors, but you wouldn't actually know that someone's sending a horrific video to somebody else. You'd say, I've got no idea what's in there. So it would make it even harder to enforce, which is why one of the reasons this move is controversial both in and outside of Facebook.
Is all of this yet another threat to Facebook's future?
I don't know if it's a threat to Facebook's future. I mean, it's definitely a threat for society to grapple with and for internet companies to grapple with. You know, I think many of us, and myself included, are still sort of thinking about these things as sort of novelties and fun things that might sort of change the way humans communicate, but generally for the better. And over the last few years, we're getting a sense of like, oh no, these things can be terrible tools used by terrible people. And we haven't really figured out the best way to grapple with it, which is why you hear calls for government enforcement.
That's Peter Kafka, executive editor at Recode. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.